Appreciate so much your presence here today. So thankful to have the opportunity to be with you and to be able to have the fellowship that we get to enjoy together, and to be able to learn all the lessons and listen to all the lessons, learn much from God's Word that we have this week. We have had some tremendous lessons this week. I was sitting thinking about Tom Bright, the lesson Tom Bright, and you know, every time I hear Tom speak, I'm just amazed. But he never ceases to amaze me, and his lesson the other night was just absolutely outstanding. Brother Dave had a good lesson this morning, and likewise the other lessons, it was great this morning. Appreciate so much everything he said, and as we stand for the truth. Appreciate Brother Jack and the words he said. Though I don't deserve any of those things, I appreciate them anyway. Just want to be able to preach the gospel and uphold the hands of those who do. And I think actually that's all what we all want to do, isn't it? So let's always stand forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. I do want Ed, though, to know that I have my tag on, Ed. And Jack had his on, too, so Jack's doing good this morning. I just want to know that I'm obeying the elders. They told me yesterday to put my tag on, so you ain't got your tag on. You need to obey the elders, Chuck. But we appreciate everyone here. Brother Jack gave me a title this morning, The Necessity of Sending Forth a Certain Sound. I really don't want to thank Jack. Last year, he gave me the title of I Don't Know and I Don't Care. And this year, he wants me to make a distinctive sound. So I'm not sure what to do, actually. But actually, if you think about it, we all need to make a distinctive sound, don't we? Take, if you will, your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and read with me verses 5 through 9. Paul writing says, I would that you would all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brother, he says, if I come unto you speak with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? Even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall be known what is piped or harped? For the trumpet give a uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by tongue words easy to be understood, how shall be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Sounds are important, aren't they? You know, a person loses their eyesight, they begin to understand very quickly how important each sound is, and how each sound is significant in that it makes a distinctive sound, if they can understand what it is. Then on the other hand, a person loses their hearing, and they begin to understand just how important it is to be able to hear in order to be able to tell the difference between sounds. I remember my dad had lost his hearing, and just frustrated him to no end that he could not hear things clearly. And you'd have to repeat things several times to him and sometimes get right up to him, you know, and tell him what you was trying to express to him. And I know it's frustrating because he couldn't hear the sounds. And all of us want to be able to hear the sounds. You know, when your child is learning to play an instrument, and I know as I was growing up, I wanted to play the guitar, and I began to strum with the guitar. I thought I was strumming. But Mom and Dad said I was making sounds or anything but the guitar sounds. But at any rate, I finally began to learn, and I made distinctive sounds that you could play on the guitar. My children, they all wanted to learn the instrument, and they began to play, and we put up a lot of sounds. And finally, some of them came through with some sounds that sounded like they were playing an instrument, you know. But we all want sounds that are right, don't we? And that's true of everything in the world. You know, in the military, there are sounds for marching. There's a sound for pressing on in the battle. And there's a sound for retreating, right? And what would you think of a general who was wanting to give the sound to retreat, but rather gave the sound to press on? I'm sure his soldiers under his command would not think very much of him, would they? They want to be able to get the right sound to know what they ought to do. And so it is with the body of Christ. You and I need to have the right sound today. And we need to be sounding forth the right sounds so that the brethren of the world at large knows who we are and what we're all about. so that they'll know about Jesus Christ and how salvation can be theirs. We all understand these things, but why is it so difficult to bring the applications over into the church? You know, even when you look at the idea of looking at something, you understand there's a distinction between things, don't you? If I pull up to a red light, I know that means to stop, right? And if it's green, it means to go. If it's yellow, it means to use caution, right? I understand those in the world. Why don't I bring it over into the application in the church, into spiritual things? To understand in those things, there are distinctive sounds that we must make in order to be heard properly. And by the way, it does not take much to understand things, does it? I mean, we can understand things if we want to, and if we want to say them in such a way that they can be heard properly. And so with that saying those things, understand this. If we talk about the necessity of sending forth a certain sound, first of all, we must be trained in order to sound or hear the certain sounds. That is true with anything. No matter what it is, if you want to know a certain sound, you've got to be trained to hear those sounds. I grew up, as Jack said, on the farm in the Logwoods, and there was a lot of work to be done. And we didn't take our automobiles to the mechanic to be fixed. We learned how to do it ourselves. And I remember many times my dad taking a screwdriver and putting on the block to listen to the motor to hear what was being done. And by listening through that screwdriver, he could tell certain things about the motor. Well, I learned to do that. And those of you who do mechanic work, you understand what I'm talking about. They make a certain sound. If something's not right in there, you can tell by listening to that what sound it is, and you know pretty well how to pinpoint that. At least that was true of the old cars. I don't know about these new cars, which you can sound hear anything for them. But, you know, the other day as I pulled up, I heard something, my wheel began to make a certain sound, and I knew automatically something was wrong. You know, the wheel was not tight. I mean, it come loose. But I knew automatically because of the sound that was making now, I needed to check something out because the sound was not right. I used to do body work years ago, and I've got to the point where I could take my hand and run it down the side of a car, and at that time I could tell you where every dent in that car was at. I could tell you if something wasn't straight. I could also tell you if something had worked on. I could tell you most times if there was a putty in that car by the feel of how it felt. Because I was trained to do that, you see. And so it is with everything else. This is the same thing is true of the truth. In order for me to sound forth a certain sound, I have to be trained to know what the sound it is that I need to be sending forth, right? Amen? I remember years ago when I first wanted to preach that there were some things that I was uncertain about, and on one particular point, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, I was teaching some things that weren't right, and I needed to be trained properly so that I could understand those things. And Brother Bill Gordon told me several years ago out in Oklahoma, he said, "John, you know you're wrong on that, and I need to show you where you need to go at, you know." And he began to teach me and show me where I was wrong at and show me where I need to be. That took training. It took time on his part, and took time and effort on my part. It took a lot of effort on my part to listen to Bill. But nonetheless, though, I was trying, you see, and begin to see what was right and what was wrong. Why is it that many local congregations do not believe and practice the things that we do? Why do they not know why we believe and practice those things? Why is that? You know as well as I do that in many congregations, the brethren do not understand why we do what we do. They simply don't. And we ask ourselves, why? And the simple reason is because we haven't trained them. That's why. They have not been trained either by preachers of the past, by elders, by teachers, by their fathers. They haven't been trained properly. And they need some training. Paul stated in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2 through 5, "If you've heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given to me to your word, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote a few times, a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." He said, "which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, how it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Paul says you can know the truth, right? Paul says the truth, God's mind, has been revealed. And you and I can have an understanding of what that truth is, and we must. There is no reason for mankind today to be ignorant of the Word of God. Absolutely no reason whatsoever. It has been revealed so that all can clearly understand the will of God. And so why is it many do not understand the need for Bible authority or what we say and what we do? Because they haven't been trained. That's why. They need to realize the Bible teaches us that whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17. Many today do not even stop and think, does the Lord approve this or does He not approve it? They just don't think about it, you know. How many times have you been in business meetings where conversations come up about certain things being done and they discuss it and no one ever says, is this authorized by the Bible? Does God approve of what we're doing? You don't hear that in business meetings, do you? In fact, in most business meetings, you don't hear much of spiritual things being talked about at all, unfortunately. But brother, I'll tell you what, when we talk about spiritual matters, we need to be having a thus saith the Lord for it, and we need to train our members to ask for thus saith the Lord. Brethren, we have a need for that. Paul wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, Peter did. Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him minister as God has given him the ability, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Why is it that today many do not understand how to word worship? Because they haven't been trained, that's why. It's very simple to train them, isn't it? It's simply going back to the Bible to say what Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That doesn't take much to teach people that, does it? And then to expound upon that, what that means, right? But yet we need to be able to do that today. The truth is, friends, we are not studying today as our brother past did, and we are suffering the consequences of our lack of knowledge of God's Word. And that's the bottom line. We're simply suffering today because of inadequate study. And it comes all the way from the home, through the elders, through the preachers, through Bible school teachers. It's a shame, isn't it? I was telling someone the other day about a young man who grew up in the church, and this young man, I believe he was 21 when I spoke to him. But he was a young man who grew up in the church. His mom and dad were always faithful in the sense that they never missed a service unless they were sick. And that young man was there for Bible class, for worship service, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. If there was a gospel meeting, he was always there. But I began to ask him in a class with other students about the plan of salvation and ask him, do you know what Mark 16:16 says? And he says, no, I never heard of that. He had obeyed the gospel. Or at least said he did. And I asked him, I said, what about Acts 2:38? And he said, well, I don't believe I've heard of that either. I said, well, have you heard of John 3:16? He said, well, that sounds familiar. He didn't know God's Word. And here was a young man who had been raised up in the church, you know, attended services, went to all the Bible classes. How is it that a young man like that can become the age of 21 years old and not know something about the Bible? Someone somewhere failed. And maybe it's a lot on his part. I'm not going to excuse him. You know, we all have responsibility of learning ourselves, don't we? But we need some guidance and some aid to helping us understand God's Word. There are a lot of things that I've been wrong on, and I thank God that someone came along, like Bill and others, and helped straighten me out. You know, I needed some straightening out, didn't I? That's it, back here. I was going to say something else, but I forget it now. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that we are to study, right? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. We need to get back to studying. In order that we might be able to find ourselves approved before God as to handling His truth properly. God wants us to handle His truth in the right way. And we need to handle it properly. And that takes study on our part and lots of studying. And we need to do it all the time. So in order for me or anyone else to know what the sounds need to be heard, we're going to have to get back to studying and be trained properly. And this calls upon elders. It calls upon preachers. It calls upon Bible school teachers, parents, to understand what a tremendous responsibility we all have. and then to get on with the program and do something about it, to work to help his kids and others learn God's truth. Secondly, we need to use familiar language, language that is familiar. I am so aggravated sometimes when I get articles from people that I can't even understand. That's not saying much, but nonetheless, though, you know, when I read something, I want to be able to understand it, right? And I don't have to sit down and take a dictionary and define everything that I read, you know? And when I'm out preaching, I don't expect everybody to get their dictionary out and follow me along, right? Some places you'd need to. And then some, you know. Get another dictionary to understand those terms, you see. But we need to have a language that's familiar. Notice what Paul says in the context here, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5 through 6. He said, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesied than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. He said, now, brother, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak to you by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? In essence, Paul said, what good is it if I speak in a tongue that you don't understand? Right? Of what value is that? It's of absolutely no value whatsoever, is it? When I was at Brown Trail, I was there for a year. That's all they could take them, and then they shoved me on out there. But when I was at Brown Trail, one of my teachers was Roy Lanier Jr., and I wanted to learn all that I could learn. And in taking Greek, I mean, I wanted to know everything that you could know about Greek. You know, I've learned better since then, but nonetheless, though, I wanted to learn everything I could. And Brother Lanier gave me some good advice that stayed with me to this day. He said, John, he said, learn all that you can about Greek, but keep it out of the pulpit. He said, that's a foreign language, those people. He said, they don't know what you're talking about. Now, by that he meant, simple as here, don't get up and try to impress people with your knowledge of the Greek language. There's a place for everything. You know, you can take a word and say, well, you know, in the original Greek language, this meant such and such. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we need to be able to do things like that. But just to be able to get up there and start quoting the Greek and impressing people with your ability to read the Greek New Testament or something, I mean, you know, there's no need for that. And it profits nothing, does it? Right? It doesn't profit people for you to get up there and show them how intelligent you are or how intelligent you think you are. You know, it seems like the more educated the pulpits become, the less educated the pews become. Right? We have a lot of people who want to use big words, and they want to impress people. They want to impress their listeners and their readers, you know. And why are they doing that? I think it's so they can feel good about themselves. That's why. You don't have to worry about me trying to impress people because I can't do it. I can't very impress myself, you know. But Leroy Brownlow said this here. And he said, the use of uncommon expressions and big words is neither an evidence of superior thought or higher education. Sometimes, he said, it's evidence of egotism and vanity and a serious lack of common sense. That's not to say we should never use big words, but use some common sense when you do. You know, use some common sense. One writer wrote these words. He said, the ability to speak so that no one can understand is a gift which should be earnestly desired by fools only. And I say amen to that. I remember years ago when I first began to preach, I wanted to fill in and was out in Oklahoma, and I got called to fill in this congregation. And, you know, when I started wanting to preach at the age of 24, I couldn't read or write, seriously. I'd went through high school and could not read or write. And, matter of fact, one, the director of a school will remain unnamed, told me, he said that I might as well go back and keep doing body work because I'd never be able to preach. You're probably right, but nonetheless. I couldn't read or write, so my wife, she was very, very intelligent. She still is. She married me, right? She's going to listen to this, so I want her to know. I think she's still intelligent. But she began to teach me how to read and how to write and brought me along, you know. And so, by the time I got through a little bit of schooling, I thought I was getting smart. Thought, well, I used some words here in my sermon, so I preached on, you know, why people won't make it to heaven. And one of my points was because of procrastination. Boy, I used that, man. I just really hit that hard, you know. And so on the way home, my wife says, John, what does procrastination mean? And I thought, man, I'm going to teach her something, you know. She don't know what that means. And I said, well, that means putting off, you know. And she said, well, why didn't you just say that? She said, a lot of people have no idea what you said up there, you know. She said, you were just trying to impress people, wasn't you? Man, I tell you, she'd want me way down there, you know. But I began to realize that she was exactly right, you know. That I should just say it means putting off, you know. Why use big words, you know? She understood what it meant, and I didn't get to teach her anything. But anyway, you know, Paul was an educated man, wasn't he? But yet Paul used words of wisdom, didn't he? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, listen to what Paul says. And our brethren came not to you, says, with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he says, I was with you in all weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and power. Paul says, I didn't come to you with my education, but I came with you with simple words, in essence. I broke it down so that you could understand it. You know, Jesus was the master teacher, and he used simple words that even a child could understand. And if Jesus, being the master teacher, has left with us the words that we still live by today, and if we can understand how he used simple words, then why can't we? He was such a great teacher. Why don't we follow in his footsteps and use simple words also? I want to teach people. I want to communicate to people. And if we're not using words that people can understand, then of what value is it? It's like speaking in a foreign language. You might as well be up speaking Greek or Hebrew or, Chinese to speak to some words that people can understand. So let's make sure that our language is language that's familiar and words that people can understand. Thirdly, we must have a certain sound in what we preach. And that is so, so important. It is absolutely necessary that we make a certain sound in what we preach. It is my job as a preacher to preach the whole counsel of God's Word. Paul said, you recall in Acts chapter 20, verse 26 to 27, wherefore he says, I take you record this day that I am pure of the blood of all men. Here's why. For I have not shunned declaring to you all the counsel of God. Paul said, in essence, when I stand before God in the day of judgment, my conscience will be clear because I preached all of God's Word to you. I held nothing back. I know a lot of people call themselves preachers, but there are some subjects they'll never touch on. There are those who preach in pulpits, they'll never preach on marriage, divorce, and remarriage because they're afraid to get fired. Friends, listen, that's not my responsibility to worry about getting fired. My responsibility is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is your responsibility also. The only way that a person can be sure that he is pure of the blood of all men is to know that he has declared all that God has required of him. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead as appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, right? Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, says. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but to heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Paul said, it's my job to preach the word, you see. Notice, it is not my job to entertain people. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be lighthearted and have a good time. I enjoy a good time as much as anybody. And I'm going to have a good time. You can frown all day long, but I'm going to have a good time. But at the same time, though, I'm not up here to entertain you. I remember preaching in a place out in Oklahoma, and this lady, every time I would preach, I was just learning, you know. And so I wanted to be good, you know. I told my wife, I said, if I ever get to be a boring preacher, tell me to shut up. And she's done so several times, but I kept on talking. This lady, she says, listen, she said, John, when you're up there, instead of standing right behind the pulpit, why don't you move around a little bit, you know? I thought, well, you know, I'll try that. And it wasn't for long. She said, John, why don't you use more hand motions, you know? And so, well, I'll try that. Then she wanted me to elevate my voice. And finally I said, well, you want me to preach or entertain you? And you know, she admitted she wanted a little entertainment. She said, nothing wrong with entertaining a little bit, she said. Well, she wanted a lot of it, you know. She wanted more entertainment than she wanted the gospel, you see. And the truth of the matter is, when you entertain people, you know what they remember? They remember the entertainment, and they don't remember the gospel of Christ. Right? We need to be careful of that. Preach the gospel of Christ, you know. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, you see. It is not my job to tickle your ears and to tell you what you want to hear. I know a lot of preachers, when they go to cry out, and they call it cry out sermons, you know. When they go there to try out, they'll take their best sermon. And it's one that they can preach about anywhere. You know, when I go to try out, I take the hardest sermon I got. And when I'm through, I said, brother, that's what you get every Sunday. If you want me, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. And I never had any problem with it, you know. Still out there 6 months, Tony. But, preach the word. That's what we're doing. I'm out there to tickle your ears and tell you what you want to hear. My job to tell you what you need to hear and not necessarily what you want to hear. It's my job to reprove. It's my job to rebuke. It's my job to exhort with all long-suffering. It's my job to be instant in season and out of season. And that's your job, too, as a gospel preacher. And as elders need to demand that that's what takes place within the church. We are here in uncertain sounds today in many, many places, aren't we? And one of the places I think about is we're hearing uncertain sounds come out of our so-called Christian colleges. And that ought not to be. It frightens me today when I hear our young people talking about going to college. And because I know 9 times out of 10 they're going to come with the colleges I can't approve of. And then I'm going to have to say something to them about the need for them to be cautious about where they're going. And it's terrible, isn't it? Today, within our colleges, they are speaking words that are uncertain. They're no longer talking about the purity of the church. They're no longer talking about the purity of the Word of God. And, you know, if anyone says anything negative about a school, they're ready to fight, right? I mean, you can talk about the church all day long, and you can talk about how bad they've been in the past about the church and all the negative things, and they won't say a word but talk about their college, and they're ready to take you on. That isn't right. What's more important, the college or the church? Amen? The church is. We need to be defending the church, our Lord's church. I'm not afraid to say that I'm a member of the Lord's church. I'm proud of it. I'm a member of the Church of Christ, you know, and proud to be a member of the church. I'm glad. And we ought to shout it from the housetops that we're members of the body of Christ. These schools have helped to fill the pulpits with the words that are no longer sound. They've helped to fill our pulpits with those who are not teaching sound doctrine. And the sounds that come from these congregations are not the sounds that once came from them. Right? This past year, I got to speak in Tennessee at a congregation that was built in 1801. And on the plaque out there, it said the men who preached there, David Lipscomb, Jesse P. Sewell, men of that caliber. And I thought to myself, I said, I wonder if people could take those sermons that they preached in that place at that time, and if all of them would preach it today, how much different the church would be. Amen? The church needs to get back to that type of preaching. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ that men of old have preached before. The sounds that come from some calls today are sounds of compromise, and they're loud and clear in many places. They are not ashamed to compromise in many places. And that's the sound that's coming from them. The sound of many coming today is the sound of don't get involved, it's none of your business. You ever heard that? Don't get involved, it's really none of your business, stay out of that. Listen, brethren, when error is taught and when truth is not upheld, it is my business. And it is your business, and it's time we got taken care of business, right? It's time we realize that it is my business, and we need to take care of it because the Lord's church is being hurt. And we don't want the Lord's church to be hurt. We need to send forth a sound that is clear without compromise, that we will not give in to the pressure of this world
and even the pressures that are being put on us by some of our own brethren. Not give in to pressures. We must send forth a clear sound and tell others about the gospel of Christ. We must send forth a clear sound and tell others about salvation that is offered through Jesus Christ. How they can be saved if they're willing to be saved. It's there for their taking. We need to warn those who are falling away after unsound words to turn back before it's too late. The day is coming when it'll be too late, won't it? And we need to warn the brethren and warn others to get back to where you need to be before it's everlasting too late. Do the words of the prophet of old have any meaning for us today at all? Listen to the words that the prophet spoke in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 through 21. Son of man, says, I have made thee a watchman on the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, he says, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if thou givest not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his sins, and his blood will I require at thy hand. He says, yet, if thou warn the wicked, he turn not from his wicked ways, nor from his wickedness, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit sin, I will lay again a stumbling block before him, and he shall die. Because, he says, thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall be not remembered. But his blood, he says, will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, he says, if I warn the righteous man, the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned as thou hast delivered thy soul. We need to warn the brethren, don't we? We need to make sure that they understand that those who fall after false doctrine are going to be lost, and warn them. There are many today who don't send forth the right sound about inspiration today. Some today don't have the idea that the Bible is inspired of God. No longer sending forth the sound of truth on that. Many today no longer send forth the sound about Bible authority. We talked about a while ago. Remember this, Jesus came and spake to them saying that all power is given in heaven and earth, Matthew 20 verse 18. Christ has all power, doesn't he? All authority. That's Matthew 28 verse, or whatever. Y'all find it. What is that, Ed? 28:20 is right. But many are no longer sounding the sound of authority, are they? They will do whatever they want to do. Many are no longer sounding forth the sound of the right doctrine on marriage, divorce, or remarriage, are they? I mean, they're teaching everything in the world but what the Bible says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We need to set forth the sound of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, what the Bible says, once again, as God would have us to do. Many today are not sounding forth the sound they should on baptism. Did you ever think that in our day and age, that there would be those who would teach that all you have to do is just accept Jesus Christ and be baptized to obey Christ and you can be saved? All you have to do is baptize them to be saved, to obey God, you see, and you can be in the church. My Bible doesn't teach that. And your Bible doesn't either. My Bible still teaches that we're baptized for the remission of sins. And by the way, you know you can be baptized for the remission of sins and be baptized unscripturally? If you're baptized in the wrong body, you're still baptized unscripturally, right? I remember growing up as a kid, my brothers and I, we'd all get us out there in the pond, you know, and we wanted to play church. So we'd lead a song and do a little preaching. And then pretty soon we'd baptize each other, you know, and we'd say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost for the remission of sins, and down they'd go, you know. My brother accused me of holding them down a little longer, but nonetheless, though, down they went, you know. They weren't baptized, were they? Not scripturally. Not at all. You know, there's a case in hand in Acts chapter 19 where 12 men were baptized, knowing the baptism of John. And by the way, that baptism, according to Mark chapter 1, verse 4, was for the remission of sins. But Paul came along and asked them about their baptism. They said, we only know the baptism of John. And he baptized them scripturally. And only then were they added to the Lord's church. Isn't that hard to understand? Not hard at all, is it? But yet there are countless of people who are in the churches today who need to be baptized scripturally. And they're in the Lord's church. That is, they're sitting in your pews. And you may think that's really not true, but it is. I know in places I've been, I've had to baptize a lot of people who are baptized unscripturally in some denomination. You cannot be in a denomination, friends, and be baptized properly. It simply will not work. But then there are those who no longer send forth the right sound of the church either. Many are saying today that it doesn't matter what you belong to any of your group you want to belong to. After all, we're going to the same place, just taking different roads, right? That's what they're saying. But my Bible still says that there's one church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says there's one body. Colossians 1, verse 18 says the body is the church. Therefore, there's one church, right? Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Mark 16, verse 18. That's the one church which I'm a member of, the body of Jesus Christ. I was added to that church by the Lord himself when I obeyed the gospel, I've been baptized for the remission of my sins, like they did on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 38. And the Lord added me to his church, Acts 2, verse 47. And those does so to every person who obeys him today. And who also is to continue on. Why is it necessary to send forth a certain sound? Because this reason right here, and I'll close with this. Because there are precious souls being lost every day because there is not a certain sound being sounded forth. We need to get back to sounding forth the right sound so that people will be saved and so that we ourselves will secure our salvation. Thank you very much.